I'll come back and tell you when that show time is. Got cut off. This release was issued on the 25th of July through the Government Information Service. It said that from September this year, students pursuing full-time or part-time undergraduate programs at UE, the Barbados Community College, and Erdiston Teachers Training College would have their tuition fees paid by the Government of Barbados. And this was attributed to the Minister of Education, Technology and Vocational Training, Santia Bradshaw, in a ministerial statement. She said the restoration of paid tuition fees for students at UE by government was a critical measure. And then she went on to say that government will pay directly to the University of the West Indies tuition fees for Barbadians enrolled in undergraduate courses of study. Government, however, will only cover the tuition fees for a second undergraduate degree if Barbadian students gained at least upper second class honors, or if the second undergraduate degree will be of significant relevance to national development. Tuition fees will be paid for Barbadian students pursuing a legal education certificate granted by the Council of Legal Education of the Commonwealth Caribbean. And government will also pay the tuition fees for Barbadians pursuing postgraduate studies if they gained at least upper second class honors in the first degree, or if the postgraduate studies will be of significant relevance to national development. And she went on to say that a full list of the national development programs will be considered for the 2018-2019 academic year and will be made known by Friday, the 3rd of August, 2018. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, and you?
Okay, fine. I noticed there's a lot of talk about the 5% salary increase of public sector workers is too low, and that those at the bottom should be given a greater percentage than those at the top.
What do you say to that?
Right, because when you look at it, I think both of the calls are somewhat out of line. Because that only during Tom Adams' tenure, you really had salary increases both at the top and the bottom, basically during his tenure. And he did really carry up the salaries to the public sector during his time. But from 1986 to 2009, that's a 23-year period. Mm-hmm. There were four occasions when there were salary increases at the top and at the bottom. Just four. That's in 1986, 1989, 1990, and 1995. As the case now is about more than 5%, during the said period, there were three occasions when the increases were greater than 5%. That is in 1997, when you had a 6.2%, in 2006, when you had a 7.6%, and in 2008, when you had 6%. But all the other years, you had increases at 2%, 3%, and that sort of thing.
But you know full well that there has been no period where people have been without an increase for 10 years.
Yes, I know. I'm well aware of that. But you still also have to be realistic about it. Because at this period, Barbados is in its worst economic position ever. So even like when the previous government said, the last time he said to the trade union, don't even mention the word salary increases to us. And this new administration came in the worst economic period Barbados ever was in and gave them 5%. So considering all of that, 5%, you must have said that 5% is not an
arm. You know, we live in a real world.
Yes.
And what's going to happen here is that that the 5% is going to really be like a token, because the government is going to give with the one hand and it is forced to take with the other. And I bet you it will take about more than that 5% overall. But at least, and listen to the debate, for instance, in the Senate, one senator or government senator said that it has to be seen as the government's gesture. It's a gesture on the part of the government to indicate what it wish it could have done. But, you know, it is a token. But there is no doubt in my mind that you are going to have an argument that says the government gave with one hand and took back with the other.
Yeah, but as I said, when you put everything into context, there's no way. No, obviously, yes, let's accept that. But giving them 0%, 5% is much better than 0%.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. That will help ease the pressure. Yeah. Because even in this type case, you know, when you go out back to school and then that sort of a thing. So yes, you gotta be realistic. So Mr. Calvin Franklin, Senator Franklin rather, he should know better because he's a trade unionist. And he can know if you these records. As I said, from 1986, you really didn't get in a lot of, only three instances of top and bottom, you know? And then I hear some people saying that earlier about the government should not take the increase. It is by law that once the PSs get their increase, the government has to meet, just like the non-contributor and the contributor, the priority has to be remained.
I think, you know, for me, the bigger issues loom, and one major matter that we need to look at is this. You know, all that has happened in the last 10 years and what is now likely to happen here, how will this society be reordered? You know, for many years, the middle class people have been crying out and saying that they've taken a beating. Then there's this small group of people in Barbados who seem to have been enriched by what has taken place, and a new group seem to have come to the fore. Now, I take, for example, a place like Spikestown. Spikestown has a whole set of property down there owned by Black Barbadians. But those people have not been able to take that property and develop it in the way that it needs to be developed.
Right.
The challenge is that the new rich people that we have around here also have the capacity to move in a place like that and buy up that property. And I'm already seeing changes in Spikestown, significant changes taking place there. It raises the question of how the society might be reordered by virtue of the hard times that we have endured in the last 10 years and those that we are going to have to endure now as well.
Right.
And the disposable income that has been sucked out of the Barbadian environment and the economy. There's something else that I've noticed, huh? It has to do with the fact that some of the people who have been empowered have been so empowered that the government today has to negotiate with them because if you want to go to court to deal with the contracts and that sort of thing, it could take forever.
Yeah.
So you're going to see these, they may appear to be alliances, because that's exactly how it's going to look. As though the very people that you were criticizing are the ones that you have to be in bed with now.
Right.
Because you don't have a choice. You just don't have a choice. But beyond that, what is left to be seen is whether the average person out there, I'm interested in, for instance, seeing people who might be laid off from the government service, is the public service, the extent to which they are going to get a chance to develop, Because one of the big criticisms of the last couple of years has been the fact that it seemed as though only a small group of people were getting any opportunity to play.
Right.
You know?
But the Prime Minister mentioned that like if the services that if the government can provide it, that some of the same said people might be able to provide it for the government. We should that'd be an excellent idea.
Yeah, but don't you need money, for instance, to start up them operations?
When you get the severance and that sort of thing, you get funding.
And you need beyond funding.
You get funding.
You also need some measure of technical support.
But most of those people would be in that sort of area that they'd be provided for as a government employee.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go now, you would just like. You know, like even like when Flo will bark cable realize time, when they have served some of their workers, the workers work independently and provided the said service, you know, for the company or for the clientele. So there will be people that with the expertise already. So they'll just be providing the expertise for the said government. And so which meaning the government would not have to pay them salaries and wages. But the government would be buying the services from them. So I think that's the position that the fund was having. So I mean, it's a very, very, very difficult situation, and it would not be easy going forward. You know, it's a rebuilding process now from here on in.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. This person wants to know what the government is doing about this Quaker Oats recall in the United States. As you know, they said that they have found traces of a chemical, a dangerous compound that they have found in pesticides in some of these products. So we expect that the government will say more about this in due course. But I'm sure given the kind of concern that has been raised about it, people want to get that information as quickly as possible. In the meantime, one can expect that those products will be taking a bit of a hit until this is clarified. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yeah. I was calling about this land issue with Mr. Bradford and Sir Cowling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of interesting. I mean, it just takes a simple journalist to do some investigation. And one of the things that people got to realize is that whenever development occurs in the country, it's either the government's going to pay for it or the developer. And Mr. Cowilliams, people stated, is one of the largest land owners. So he has perfect experience of what it takes to get land approved. Now, I'm here on holiday in my position. I work for one of the largest governments in the U.S. And my position is approving these kinds of land use change and restrictions. So I got experience on what goes on. And it's kind of ironic that, you know, the land that they're talking about, he knows it's not approved, right? And it takes the government to change the restriction for land use. He says it's agricultural, as for what I read in the papers.
Yeah.
So my concern is you can do things by force or persuasion. So what's persuading Mr. Williams to give this land? That's what people got to look into. You know, the government obviously has to control the way how land is divided up and how it is used. So they have to have some sort of either health concern or safety concern. If this land is in a position where it can't be developed or lived on because it doesn't have water, electricity, sewer, etc., who's going to put it in? Is it Mr. Williams or the government? So if you go and look and see why the government has not approved that, right, you're going to find out that maybe it's one of those items I just brought up, that the land might be in a position where it takes a tremendous amount of money to bring it to a point where somebody can develop, right? So who's going to foot that bill? Is it the government or is it Mr. Williams, right? So by giving land to a common citizen, and I'm going to use Mr. Bradford as a common citizen, right? That land now that has a restriction on it for agriculture, et cetera, that maybe can sell, I'm just going to use a figure. It can be sold for $10 a square foot. Right now because it's agricultural. But by giving this land to Mr. Bradford, trying to use the heartstrings of the government or the people to change that restriction on it, from agricultural by kind of forcing the government's hand to say, you know what, well, I gave it to one of your famous athletes. Now I need you to change the restriction. You now are forcing the government to change the restriction that they've held in a position. And I don't know for a fact, but I'm just using this as an example. They've held that restriction for this longest time. So now that you change the restriction out to residential use, hey, here you go, Mr. Bradford, here's your land, you can start developing. Oh, by the way, the rest of the land that has not been given, Mr. Williams now can open up for sale. And it goes from $10 a square foot now to $5,000 to $10,000 a square foot. And who benefits? Okay? So those are the little things that it just takes a simple journalist to go do some digging to see why is the government holding restrictions. They mentioned gullies. I've been out of the country for many years, so I know the areas, but I can't remember the names. But go see the topography. See, do they have roads? Do they have access? These are the things that the government has to look at. When you start putting 200 homes in the area and you have a little narrow road and all this traffic now comes into an intersection where you can't get people out, these are the things the government looks at. You know, Mr. Williams looks at the sales. He's a businessman. Like I say, when it comes to government development that the government is involved with, he should have perfect knowledge also, because he normally does contracts for the government. So he knows what is the future plan of the government, what the government has, what areas they're going to start to change from either rural to into urban to city type. And he would know that because he's involved with the plan. And then what is his plan? He has a general plan too. Every developer has one. Every developer has a 5-year, 10-year plan of what they want to see taken down the future. So his plan and his, as a VP of a very large industries, yeah, he's not going to know every day-to-day business, but he knows the general plan. They know that this area of Barbados, they plan to put either industrial...
Yeah, well, I think you've made your point. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks. Dr. Brastax, hello?
Mr. Ellis, a very good afternoon.
Hello. How are you?
Not bad at all. John Kelman here, and let me say good afternoon to the listeners as well.
Good afternoon.
Now, I want to engage you for a couple of moments on this seeming battle about homosexuality versus heterosexuality and what the Bible says and doesn't say. Now, I must establish up front that I am 100% and more heterosexual. Homosexuality is a foreign phenomenon as far as I am concerned, but I do not condemn those people who find it preferable. I don't. Now, if I could use a little analogy to explain what I'm saying here, we all would have read or heard of Playfair's axiom that says things that are equal to the same thing are equal to one another. And in Barbados, we know that there are some people who love a bowl of soup. There are some who prefer a dish of rice and peas. There are some who love their cuckoo, yet there are others who would have their black pudding sauce or potato salad or whatever. Macaroni pie. But they do it for one thing: to appease the wrath of hunger. Then, if we come over now to the sexual side of our orientation, there are some people who enjoy heterosexual behavior. There are others who enjoy homosexual behaviors. There are some who enjoy masturbation, and yet there are others, male more so, who will have nocturnal emissions. But look, and you see the goal for each one is relieving the urge for sexual satisfaction.
And so?
So what I'm saying is, one person likes something, some person likes the other thing.
Yes, we all understand that. We all understand that.
I beg your pardon?
We all understand that. But there are, you know where the difficulty arises.
Well, yes, of course I know. But what I'm saying here, just let me finish. I'll show you finish and let you be back to this. What I'm saying here is this, that it is my opinion that governments had no right in the sexual affairs of individuals. None. That is what is causing the problem. A person's private life is theirs. They are people who are infidels as far as the marriage is concerned. Nobody does anything about that. Because it is not you. And that is dangerous because somebody has vowed before the court. This is law. But it's not law. And there shouldn't be any law about how people do serve their personal life. And let me say this last bit to support my thing. We know, those of us who read the Bible, and mostly so the King James Version, according to the Bible story, God permitted Moses to produce some laws. We know them today as the laws of Moses. But there were other laws that God, it seems, found that more important and did not allow Moses to do that. We refer to that as the Decalogue. And the Bible states that he wrote them with his own finger. That suggests importance. And he wrote them in stone. That suggests duration. Durability. You know, Moses came down and had an altercation with the Israelites and their brought. And God wrote them using the same that emphasizes the importance of them. I want any religious pundit to show me in the Bible where the Decalogue, which seems to me like the constitution for God's chosen people, because he wrote them himself, says anything for or against homosexuality.
Okay. Thank you very much. Don't brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis. How are you doing today?
I'm well. And you?
Not bad at all. I have three little things to raise here. But would you give me permission to go back to the last time we spoke? I didn't get your what you think. Can I go back?
Yeah, what I think about what?
Okay. I told you that I met Mr. Pisa on 2007. And I told you how he felt about her and another lady. And what I wanted to find out from you is, have you ever interviewed her or followed her in the Senate?
Not really. I haven't interviewed her. As a journalist, I've had to follow comments which were made in the Senate and that sort of thing from time to time.
Okay. So. Now, that is one. Now, basically, to you, is the hardest job in a party or, let's say, a union between, let's say, the president and the secretary? Which work to you takes more time and energy?
I think the secretary is seen as the person who works.
Okay. So you will have no problem. You don't see nothing wrong with Mr. Pisa being the president then? I mean, with her ability and the little that you know about her. You see anything wrong with it?
I really can't say that there's anything wrong with it.
Okay. Now, why I say that, Mr. Ellis, because listening to you the last time, there are some callers that call in, and to me, the impression they give about this lady that I wonder if they ever listened to her on television or in the Senate and things like that. But I will move on because I don't understand how
The real difficulty that exists is the one that has been flagged in the Senate, where there's concern that Geisa Mears is functioning as General Secretary of the Democratic Labour Party.
But I will say that.
The post as Chairman of the Police Service Commission.
That, yeah, but in my mind, say this
is
that
one that needs to
nobody knows, even I, a Democrat, mm-hmm. nor Mr. Mears fan. How these people who jump in the gun so no.
Well, he would have to make it clear what the position is. Unless until he says that he is going to serve one or the other in one or the other post, or until he says that he is, well, the assumption is that at the moment he's holding on to both. So he would have to clarify what the position is.
So in other words, give him a little time to find out
fair enough
what he's going to do.
Fair
okay,
enough.
Let's move on from there. Now, Miss Ellis, you know that I had a tour strike at the harbor yesterday morning?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think about it? You follow the reason for the strike?
Yes. The people who are members of the Barbados Workers Union were not approving of the kind of communication or lack thereof that obtained when it, as it relates to the increase that they were offered or given.
I ask you questions.
Why don't you? I'm here to answer the questions, you know. You're
no,
the person.
I know.
No. It's supposed to be the other way around, you know. I'm supposed to ask you the questions.
Mr. Ellis, I don't ask you embarrassing questions.
No.
Anything that I ask
you. Let's understand where we are here. You call the call-in program, and you are the person who is expected to give your point of view. I give mine as I see fit, but I'm not here to be quizzed.
Okay, but let me explain to you why I operate this way, especially now and onward.
You ain't changing your rules on me, you know.
Before the government changed, have you had what they call a mini-budget? DOB used to have a panel after and discuss that budget, that the small amount there will be able to find out what is the measures put in place, how it affect people and things like that. I find that since the government changed, people saying things and then got the discussions on them. We had one little one, I think last Sunday, dealing with the state of the economy. I enjoy that because I believe that is what I expect. So when I ask you, because here it is, you have the harbor striking for 2 hours. And in my lifetime, I have never yet heard a union agree to something on without the workers' permission. And that in news, that is big news. But it's not news to this radio station, because to me now...
So the story was never carried. That's what you're saying?
The way it was carried. I knew all about it before it was broadcast on VOB.
You instigated it?
No. I get phone calls.
You spoke to one of the instigators?
Let's go on. Let's move on. Now, I heard...
Let me just make one point to you. Because I think that if you think for 1 minute that I'm going to sit down and allow you to characterize us and cast us in a manner that is negative without responding to you, you are dead wrong. I want to let you know, I don't know where you recently come from, but we've been around here long, all right? We've been around here long enough where we have seen changes of government and we have remained faithful to the commitment as a media house to analyze whatever each government has put on the table. So much so that from time to time, once you have had to put the government under the microscope, we have become the targets of the criticism from BLP and from Democratic Labour Party people. You have been living out of Barbados for quite a while, according to what you have said. But I hope that you will do a little bit more research before
Mr.
you...
Ellis, I live out of Barbados, or you are the person...
Let me finish. I would like you to do a little bit of research about what has been the attitude of the station over a long time, rather than trying to come and cast us as though we are pro-B, pro-D,
sort
of thing.
I hear you on more than one occasion saying how this long time awake. I only leave Barbados.
Well, so
I'm talking about going and coming.
Well, you forgive me. You forgive me because you. Forgive me. You behave. You talk as though you've been out here for 50 years and you don't know what's going on.
If I
characterize you that way, it's because that's how you sound.
So I act like somebody that I know what's going on, Miss Ellis.
Anyhow, point is, there was a mini budget in Barbados.
Yeah.
And that mini budget has been analyzed by various people on this station. Every action taken by the government so far has been analyzed, including my own observations this morning about the increase in salary and what the government has to do in terms of trying to set an example to the public of Barbados. But people like you don't listen to those things because you, it's convenient for you.
Well, Miss Ellis, you finished, I could go on?
Yes.
Yeah. Miss Ellis, I heard my lady friend, Vinnie, this morning. And Vinnie went back to 2008 to the late David Thompson, increase of 60% on the water bill. I would like to tell Vinnie, I hope she's listening, that 60% took water rates, the minimal, to $35. That increase took it to $35. Businesses like chicken farms and drink companies and ice companies thing, didn't get a 50% increase on their water bill. And about branch houses lining up and people think, I would like to, I don't know if Vinnie was here in the days of Vic Johnson and Don Blackman. But she don't see people going to branch houses today like years ago. It's nothing new. So if Mr. Simmons is losing weight over that, he better contact someone that knows Mr. Johnson or Mr. Blackman to help him. Because people don't rush to branch houses now because jobs are not available like in those days. And I know you know those days when the branch houses used to be packed in and out. So I would just like to tell Vinnie, don't worry about it. Tell him don't fall there because the real fall didn't start yet. It's approaching. Miss Ellis, you have a good day.
You do too. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Miss Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you kindly. I trust that your weekend will be a beautiful one, you and the staff.
Thank you very much. I wish you the same.
Thank you kindly. You're welcome. I wish to speak about or mention of two or three things, if I can. The first one is, I heard your radio broadcast and what Mr. Simmons is saying that the our tourist industry is in crisis and all that.
The cruise section.
Right. I am of the opinion that, Mr. Simmons has always been an alarmist and one who emphasizes on things to, in my view, to impress people of these things. Now, I'm saying that in that when we had the Brexit and the world's economy downturn, the former minister and the government did things so that the cruise industry, where people coming from around the world, would not fall away. And not only that, the then minister had done something about the marketing strategy of the tourist board. And when he had split up with the spending of the money and so on to spread it across the world, rather than going to only the traditional markets, he was heavily criticized by the opposition, the then opposition. Mr. Ellis, the marketing of that strategy has caused us to have record numbers of persons in Barbados from the cruise industry. Record. But then to say that it is in crisis, it would be good to hear when he talk in crisis what he's talking about. When he said that, because in the numbers...
You haven't heard? Because I think you're confusing issues here. You cannot, if you're talking about the cruise sector, you can't be dealing with the airlines and where they're coming from. Okay, that doesn't... there are some aspects of the issues with the airlines that will tie in, you know, home porting and the fact that people, to get to the cruise lines and to join them here, planes will bring them in. If you listen to what was said, he spoke about the port size and that we are at a point, you know, where the cruise people are building huge ships, much bigger than we can accommodate now. and that we need to plan for that. We need to expand there. You talked about the onshore activities. People are concerned about how untidy Barbados is. Look, if you go right opposite here, I mean, it is shameful. And I see tourists pass here going to the hospital, you know. I think we go look for relatives and stuff who would have been hospitalized here. Look to the left as they go to the hospital, and the garbage situation out here is unacceptable on River Road. There's a portion, an area there by the old market, and it is filthy. But they talk about things like that, and they talk about poor customer service. Now, these are the issues that you need to confront in dealing with whether the cruise passenger considers that they are getting value for money. The other issue that was raised has to do with how we treat the disabled in Bridgetown and the inability to access sidewalks and that sort of thing. I want you to stay with us. When we come back, I want to explore this with you a little bit more, okay? Down to Brass Tacks, hello?
Yeah, Mr. Ellis, I'm here.
Yeah, you were saying.
Yeah.
You were looking at now, cruise tourism and the comments which have been made by the Minister of Tourism.
Mr. Ellis, now, you spoke about the port. You know that the former government has given a contract and they're looking at having an improvement at the port because they said they're larger, much larger super vessels that
are
being built. So that is something that they recognize that has to be done. That does not prevent or stop other ships that have been coming consistently from other parts of the world and the region. That has not stopped it.
But you know that the most significant point on all of this has to do with what you are actually earning from tourism. And the stats which have been given show that if you go back to 2014, 2015, I think it was, there has been no significant increase in the visitor spend in Barbados. So if the numbers may increase, but if that does not translate into improved visitor spend, then you are going to have a serious question posed about how much progress we are actually making in the sector. That is for the broad issue. What the concern here about cruise is something that we need to talk about. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we have it on the agenda for this weekend.
Right. Now, Mr. I could and would accept the fact that we need to have other things on shore to keep people here. When I say keep them here, to spend more money. We do need that. And there's always the necessity to find something other than what we may have. I am of the view that community tourism, where there are smaller persons, and we are looking out at, the government have to look at retrenching people and so on, who may get their payouts and so on. And we know that the government had, the former government had some money in $350 million aside for, to help with loans and grants and so on for small persons to develop some of those industry, those properties and so on for that kind of spend. I think that is necessary. It's important. Yes. But I think what is going to have to happen as far as that is concerned, that kind of business ideas has to be marketed with the cruise liners and with those agencies that are bringing people to Barbados so that they can know where else they can get other kinds of entertainment to spend their money. Yes, we all need more money to spend. But then to say, when you're going to look at the word crisis, to use the word of crisis, it sounds to me like a catastrophe, a breakup. I mean, and I don't think that we should look and use that kind of a analogy for our tourist board, our tourist industry, you know? I think that is really stretching it a bit far, and I want to say that the minister just have quite a number of people with a new board to look at new ways of entertainment. I think that's important and that's necessary. But I want to go on to another quick one here I'd like to make mention of, if I can.
Sure.
Good.